But this is a Bible study, and so I thought we ought to start out with a scripture. While I'm talking about this scripture, if you want to, you can turn to the 21st chapter of John. I'll be somewhere around there before the morning's over. The scripture I like, though, is God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You're familiar with that scripture, aren't you? You don't have any problem with that, do you? Beg your pardon? You don't? Well, I'll explain it. The Lord said to his apostles one time, where there are two or three of you gathered together in my name, Toby rendition, I will be one of you. So guess what, folks? He's here.
Amen.
Amen. I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, I have strange movements of the mind. I get to thinking about things that just, when I talked about them in college and seminary, I got my knuckles cracked a few times. Because I was out of the box. Let's work on this statement. God is spirit all the time, everywhere. Okay? God is spirit all the time, everywhere. Now that brought a whistle. So the Holy Spirit can appear anytime, anywhere, any way he wants to. Now you have to be careful. I don't know a whole lot about angels. I was one time when I was about a year old. At least that's what my mother said. Once. Years changed all that. But the Spirit can appear any way he wants to. You all right with that? I mean, there's several occasions in the scripture where some of the men of God were having a prayer session and they looked and here comes a fellow walking down the road, remember? And the scriptures will sometimes call him an angel, which in one sense the word simply means messenger. So I don't want you to get spooky about angels. But when he gets there, the man of God recognizes it as God has come to speak with him. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes he can speak as an invisible voice. Isn't that great? You ever think about how Moses must have felt up there on the mountain? The first time was bad enough, but that second time he had to go up there and write down what the voice is telling him. But they acknowledge this as God, because God's a spirit. He can be anywhere, anytime, any way he wants to. I don't want to get too puffed up about this, but he can use you as one of his spirits. Isn't that great? And sometimes he'll use you and you don't even know it. That's the interesting thing. I can't tell you how many times I've had people say things to me that baffled me. And so this spirit puzzled me. He can come as a human being. He did come as a human being, didn't he? He walked among men. I got to thinking about Thomas. Thomas met the man of God. The man of God showed him the wounds in his hands and his feet. Now that's pretty tough. Now here you are in a room with a group of people, and here stands a dead man, full of life. Thomas can't quite handle that. He said, I need to thrust my hand in your wounded side. Now that took a lot. I don't think I'd have done that. Can you imagine what he must have felt like when he's standing there? And here stands the Holy God in human flesh, buried, dead, and arose again. And he's going to thrust his hand into his side. And he gave that great testimony. My Lord and my God. What an experience that must have been. I'm saying that part to you because the Spirit of God could be in a room and you not even know it. Nobody else seemed to be making any to-do over this. I don't know how many people in that room, but it must have been a room full of them anyway. But nobody else is making any to-do over this until Thomas suddenly is standing before Jesus and doesn't recognize him. John closes out that chapter 20, by saying, we can't record everything that Jesus did. Now that threw me, because my inquisitive mind said, wonder what all they left out. He said if we'd have written it all down at the end of chapter 21, the world couldn't have held all the books. Can you imagine all the things that he did we don't know about? But John said, tell you what, the things we have written down, we wrote down so that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the God-man. And in believing that, you could receive life everlasting.
Amen.
Wow. Why? Well, because the Holy Spirit can be anywhere, anytime, in any form he wants to be. Isn't that great? Some people see him in a song. Some people see him in a sunrise. Some people see him in a sunset. I don't complain about how they see him. I love to see him in any form he appears. And so John begins chapter 21 by saying that Peter and seven of the guys, or at least seven of the apostles, were in this room. And they had a meal. And Simon said, I'm going to go fishing. The other guy said, well, we're going to go with you. Now they named the guys who were there. Who's got chapter 21 there, somebody? Mr. Nader, read those first couple of verses for us.
Okay. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there, Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples.
One more verse.
Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night.
Been there, done that. Now I got to tell you, in my own simple little mind, They didn't name Jesus, but he was there. He said, when you're there, I'm in the midst of you. You don't have to have a revival meeting or a healing service or any other kind of thing for Jesus to be in your midst. I'd like to ask him what he thinks about these old men. Us old men. Yeah. I think he gets great joy in the fact that we have gathered these almost 30 years now, week after week after week, to study his word and to allow his presence to come into our lives in an unusual way. See, a lot of people don't realize that this isn't just a Bible study. This is a gathering of the people of God so that the Spirit of God can come and visit with us. Yeah. And refill us again and again. You never get too full of the Holy Spirit. And never get tired of his presence. So I have a feeling Jesus was there in the room with them. Why? Well, because he knew where they were going. And they fish all night and they don't catch anything. That's got to be a bit discouraging. But now you have to remember, we don't have any record of them having fished for these last 3 years. Now that doesn't mean they didn't do it. Please hear me. Be careful when you draw conclusions on things that you don't know. Okay? Simply because you don't know whether they went fishing or not doesn't mean they did or did not go fishing. They could have. They had a boat. Of course, they had the boat earlier because Jesus was on the boat with them. I'm surprised he wasn't out there on the boat with them this time. He was. See, he can be anywhere he wants to be, anytime he wants to be. Absolutely. Now, that kind of puzzled me a bit because when he was walking the hillsides of Palestine as the God-man, I wonder what was going on over in Egypt, in India, in China. Let me remind you that in the days that Jesus was walking the hills of the Galilee, there were already 2 million Chinese by census. A little side note, I've often questioned myself, wonder why God chose those a bunch of Hebrews when he had 1 million Chinese over there. Why didn't he start over there? He had a good crop of people to work with. But he found a man over here who would listen to him. But the Holy Spirit did not stop just because he came to inhabit the frame of the man called Jesus. That makes sense? I mean, if somebody else over here was praying, now this is hard for us to understand and deal with because we're Westerners and we can't fathom this, and I've been around enough places enough time and done enough studying, my mind can sometimes wander away from my Western side. But we Westerners just can't fathom that anybody could possibly be dealing with God over in China and India or in Africa. There had to be in Israel. We've been brainwashed that way. But if you believe that the Spirit of God is always, everywhere, anywhere, anytime he wants to be, you got to deal with these people in other parts of the world. And so while Jesus is, I don't know how he did it. He's God. I don't have to understand it. Because he can be anywhere, everywhere, all the time, anywhere he wants to be. See, he's not conforming to our way of time and living. He just steps into it. But he can also be doing other things while he's dealing with it. Isn't that wonderful? Because he can be in this church, that church, that church, this church, that church. And we even have problems with that because we've got titles for them. How could he be in a Catholic church? How could he possibly be in these new Methodist churches that are dealing with it? Well, because he's not limited. He doesn't know any limits. That's not in his vocabulary if he has one. And so here he is, walking along the shore now of the Galilee. Let's catch up with him a little bit here. Let's start at verse 4. Who wants to read verse 4 for me? Who's got verse 4?
Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus.
Okay, hold on there now. See? The man has been crucified and buried. You probably wouldn't be looking for him. When I was a boy growing up, in order to play ball with the group that I wanted to play ball with, I had to attend a Baptist church at least one service a week. That was the most miserable service I'd ever in my life. I'd go there and when I walked in the door, it just wasn't right. Little Baptist guys, and they would sing that stupid song every time we got ready to go, till we meet again. I thought, oh, you dumb guys. But they let me play ball with them, so I go play ball with them. Little did I know that God's Holy Spirit was right there in the midst of those people, and he was calling missionaries and preachers and nurses and doctors and teachers. And I didn't recognize him. If you aren't careful, you'll let your mind get in such a state that you won't recognize him when he appears. So they didn't know it was Jesus. Now, I've got a red letter Bible, so I've got some red letters of mine. So they didn't know it was Jesus. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Things happen in your life and in mine, and we don't recognize that it's Jesus at work. Jesus can work through you and me when we don't even know it. You understand that? There's times in your life and in mine when we had to say, "Poor, that must have been the Lord at work, because it sure wasn't me." He can do that. And so he's out there on the shore with the guys, and they don't know it. I wonder how many times we have been in his presence and didn't know it. I didn't know it in that Baptist church. But as years have gone by, I know a number of those guys I played ball with, and some of them have been ministers and missionaries and doctors and lawyers and men of God. And they still lead people to Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit doesn't know they're Baptist. He doesn't care that they're Baptist. What he wants to know is, do they recognize him as a life-giving God-man spirit? Okay, Brother Frank, read us number 5 and 6.
Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No," he said to them. "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish.
Now here they've been out there fishing all night long. And this smart aleck down on the shore wants to tell them how to fish. These are professional fishermen. They grew up this way. Now, I don't know which way the boat was going. They were on the Galilee, and I don't know if they were going north or south. But whichever way they were going, they were putting the net on the wrong side of the boat. Now, I've tried to figure this out. I don't really know. Maybe you do, but I've seen all kinds of pictures. But I've been around fishing enough to know that there's more than one way to use a net. One of them is about so big around you, you scoop him up, you know. Or you knock him loose and lose him. Then there's that net that they get, that they just throw it out there and it spreads out. And you ever try to do that? Don't. You snatch your teeth out. They throw it out there and they pull it in, they got a whole bunch of fish in it. And then there's these other nets, we used to call them seine nets. Now, when I was a boy growing up down in Florida, at the ocean, we would have a car, a Jeep usually, here on the shoreline, and we had this big pole stuck up in it. And a net was attached to it. And we would swim out around and go out around like that and come back in, and then we'd back that Jeep up and pull that net in, and we'd have a bunch of fish. I mean, we have fish fries. We didn't make one haul about all we have to do. And then there's this other kind. There's these big old boats that go out, and they have nets that are a mile long and some more than that. And they stretch it out around and pull around and come up. And then they got an electric motor, and it pulls that net in. And they catch thousands of fish. And then there's that other little boat, ship they'll call him, where they'll have a little, what we would call maybe a rowboat, a little boat, no motor on it. And they would get a net, and they would row this little boat out around like that and bring it back around to the boat again, and then they would just pull that net in and catch these fish. Well, they've been doing this all night and not catching anything. That's discouraging. So Jesus simply says to them, fish on the other side of the boat. I'd love to have heard Peter. What does he think he's talking about? What does he know? He's on the shore, we're there and there. Well, okay, so they're going to go out there, and lo and behold, they cast their net out on the other side, and they had a multitude of fish. Brother John's going to count all of them. Remember that? He'll count, tell you, 153 big fish in there. Oh, you got to count that fish. See? And so they draw the net in. Now you have to get the whole picture going here, because a lot's going on at the same time. And they draw conclusions before you get to the end of the story. Because they hadn't come to shore yet, and they hadn't pulled the whole thing in. They're going to pull it in later. And so, let's see, somebody read me verse 7. Who's got verse 7?
Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea.
Now, this is the same guy that walked on the water. Now, we have such strange minds. We want to spend our time talking about how he took his eyes off of Jesus and sank. But I marvel at the fact that guy had enough belief that he got out and walked on the water. Amen. Well, this time, he's convinced it's Jesus, so he just dives in and goes swimming ashore. Leaves the other guys out there. Now, I don't know just how far out they were. I think most of our Bibles say he was 200 cubits out. Well, that don't make any sense to me. Cubes and cubits, tell me about feet and inches. I don't know. I read, and some of your Bibles may say 200 yards, and some 200 feet, some 200. However far they were, it wasn't so far that John couldn't see that this was the Master. (Clears throat) And Simon Peter plunges in the sea and swims to shore. That's why I didn't think it was 200 yards. I mean, it'd be hard to see somebody 200 yards away. And it's just the break of morning, you know. There may have been a little light going on. And John was keen enough, though, he could see, and something about it alerted him, this is the Master. This is Jesus. And Simon Peter dives into the sea and swims to shore. You may find yourself doing some strange things in your lifetime because somebody has pointed out the Master at work. He does a lot of strange things in this world. And so Simon Peter went to him, and the other guys are still out there in the water. Somebody read us verse 8 and 9.
But the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the full net of fish. So when they got on the land, they saw that a charcoal fire had already been laid and fish placed on it.
And bread. Yeah, you can't have the fish without the hush puppy. Now, I don't know whether they asked him or not. They didn't record that they did. How did you get these fish? How did you make this bread? So here he is. He's already got fish and bread. You ever had fish and bread for breakfast? I used to go out in backwoods of Georgia with my relatives, and they would take off and go fishing all night long, and early in the morning, that's what they had cornbread. Instead of hush puppies, they had cornbread and fish for breakfast. It's not bad. I don't suggest it every morning, but it's not bad. And so Jesus had prepared breakfast for them. Now see, here's where my mind gets to turning about the Spirit. Now, how did he know where they're going to be? And how did he get there? How did he even know they were going fishing? He knows everything. He knows what you're going to do before you do it. And he tries to help you to understand why you're doing what you're doing. That's the Spirit's business. My problem is I've got to listen to him. I've got to recognize him. John recognized him. I don't know what made John figure that out, but and John's supposedly writing this book, and so he said it's the one that Jesus loved.
It looks like they would have recognized him when he called them children, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know what they would have been thinking. Of course, they wouldn't have. Jesus was dead, buried in the grave. But now, he has appeared to them before. We'll find out. But see, he didn't have a halo. He probably wasn't dressed unusually. And anyway, they weren't expecting him to be out there on the shore fishing with them. Now, we'll leave the rest of this fishing business to Dr. Henneke. He can tell you what kinds of fish they were and what size they were and why they were on this side and why they were on that side. And I don't know all that stuff. I just know there was some fish, and they were big fish. Now, I don't know what big means in the Sea of Galilee. It could have been tilapia. Didn't say so, but it could have been. Could have been all kinds of any kind of fish. I mean, could have been a perch. You know, I don't know what it could have been. I have caught some big fish at times. Now, if they were talking about the big fish like I caught, they had a net full indeed. I have landed 125-pound tarpon, 1 hour and 45 minutes worth. But Jesus knew that these men were there. I mean, let me tell you something, folks. He knows where you are all the time. The question is, do we know where he is? I know this, he's here. Let me pause and just get myself in deep water here. I believe that Jesus, as the Son of God, the man of God, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit can come to you as a feeling. The Holy Spirit can come to you as a feeling. He can come to you as a sensation. He can come to you as a thought. He can come to you in a song. He has no limits. He can come as a fisherman if he wants to. He did a pretty good job fishing. He already had the fish on the fire. They didn't ask him where his net was. They didn't ask him if he had a garden reel or if he was using a plug or what he did. How did he get those fish? But there was something about him that radiated out there to that boat that John recognized the fact that's Jesus. No voice of Simon Peter, boy, he's in the water. And that's why I don't think it was 200 yards out there. He probably wouldn't dive in the water to swim out there 200 yards. I don't know how far it was. And so, verse 10. Let's go to verse 10. Brother Nader, how about reading verse 10 and 11?
Bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn.
Isn't that interesting?
153, that's the number.
Now, you see, you and I passed that by pretty easily, but it was a miracle taking place here right in the midst of them. The net didn't break. I've read a lot of books about preachers talking about pull the net. Draw the net. Jesus is not limited to doing what we think can't be done. He can take a little bit and make it much. He can take the weak and make it strong. He can take a little money and stretch it a long, long ways, because he is not limited as you and I are. And the net didn't break. And somebody took time to count the fish. Isn't that interesting? I don't know. I don't know who counted the fish. Judas wasn't there, so it wasn't him. But they counted the fish. So Jesus, well, I've been jumping to my story here. Somebody get down to verse 12 and read me 12 and 13.
Jesus said to them, come, have breakfast. And none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. The wind continued.
That's far enough right there.
And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. So with the fish, this was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead.
Yes.
You didn't recognize him even when you're face to face. That's interesting.
But now this, here's the key to this entire chapter. And here's the key for you and me. They dared not ask him who he was because they knew him. I regret that when I was a boy, I didn't recognize that Jesus went to the Baptist church. I should have known better. You see, I was raised in Nazarene. Nazarene church didn't believe the Baptists could. You just the Baptists. They drink and they smoke and they chew and they go with the girls that do. And they went to bowling alleys and skating rinks and said bad words. And I played ball with them. Isn't that funny? I could play ball with them, but I couldn't go to church with them. Isn't that interesting? They dared not ask, who are you? Because they knew. Folks, this is the whole thing in a nutshell for us. I want to suggest to you they did not recognize he was in the room with them while they were up there eating. They didn't realize he was listening to them. And they probably did not recognize the fact that he was in their presence, even though he told them, where there are two or three of you gathered together in my name, I'm going to be one of them. We forget that sometime. We get ourselves in some circumstances and situations that we just can't control, and we don't realize Jesus is still there even when we can't control it. And he's doing something you and I may not know he's doing.
When Jesus was crucified, he was beaten beyond recognition. Do you think that when he was beating them at the Sea of Galilee there, that he was still in the beaten form beyond recognition?
Who said they recognized him?
They didn't recognize him evidently.
At first they didn't. But then it said they wouldn't ask who he was because they knew.
They knew who he was.
Yeah.
They recognized him because in what state was he? Was he back to his original face or was he still in his beaten form? He still had his scars in his hands and his side.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he was in his most youthful appearance. And they knew him as a 30-year-old man. He may have appeared as a 20-year-old young man. And that would have been, I don't know. Hey, we can sit here and discuss this all day, but he was there.
I don't know that there's an answer. Right? Yeah.
The answer is this, though. They recognized who he was.
Yeah.
And folks, that's the key for you and me. Whatever else you're going to do in your lifetime, you must get yourself in a position where you recognize when the Son of God is working with you.
Absolutely.
And now my problem was, I don't always recognize when he's working with somebody else. Unless there's a missionary over there in Africa. Or if there's somebody helping a drunk down here on the street. But I have a difficult time sometimes seeing God at work in these things. Does that mean he's not at work? It certainly does not. He works in ways I will never understand. When I was a boy growing up in Jacksonville, Florida, we had a group of ladies and a couple of men who met every Wednesday morning at our church, and they had missionary prayer time. They knew missionaries by name. And they would pray for those missionaries by name. And they would, on Wednesday nights, then they would tell some things that just baffled me. And now I knew they were there because my mother was the secretary of the church and I had to be there with her sometimes. So I was growing up and watching these saints of God. But at that time I thought to myself, what a waste of time this is. gather over here and mumble these things around and pray for people over there in Africa and China and India and who knows what. And on Wednesday night, they were sent up to testify and say, got a letter today from so-and-so over in Africa. I want to read it to you. And they'd read that and shout. Yeah. Well, I mean shout. Woo! Glory! I mean, because God had answered a prayer that they prayed, they believed God heard their prayer and answered it all over there in Africa. And they got a letter to prove it. I mean, they would coincide the hours and the days and translate all that, and God was at work. The Holy Spirit can do some wonderful things that we don't realize. And I'm sorry that our children today don't get to see those kinds of things in our people. They need to see God's Holy Spirit working in you and me. And we need not be afraid to tell them. And we need not be afraid to say, that's Jesus at work. And so they dared not ask who he was because they knew it was Jesus. And then John wants to tell us, now this is the third time he's appeared to them. So I don't know what they were seeing, but they had seen him three times before as a resurrected Lord. But the key here is they knew him. Folks, you and I need to have better recognition when God is at hand working through us. And we need to give ourselves more to him. Hey, all this going on, and he says to him, oh, go bring some of your fish up here. He may ask you to do a simple little thing, but it's important if he's involved. Nothing that the Holy Spirit does is not important. Everything he does has eternal significance behind it. I marvel at how he uses people. I marvel how he has used me over the years. I marvel he dares to trust kingdom work to you and me. But he does. And he never calls us to do something that he doesn't enable us with his Holy Spirit to accomplish it. Even though it may not look like it to you and me, he does these marvelous things. And so he said to them, come, and they didn't recognize who it was, but then he broke the bread and the fish. Then they recognized again, wow, this is the Master. Have you had times in your life when you had to just say, God was in this? This was a God thing. I didn't do this. God used me, but God was in this. You're talking about the Holy Spirit. God is a spirit. He can go anywhere, anytime, and do anything he wants to do with anybody he wants to, whatever denomination they are, whatever religion they are.
Or not.
Now, I have problems with the Islamic people, those who are following some of this Islamic teaching. I have trouble with them. I have trouble with some of the Chinese, some of the Indians, some of the rituals and things they go through. But I'm not going to limit the Holy Spirit to the religious service that I'm used to. I'm not going to limit him to what I think about him. Because he can work with anybody, anywhere, anytime he wants to. Can he save a Chinese? If he's unlimited, he can. Can he reach the people out in the backwoods of Africa? He can reach anybody, anywhere, anytime he wants to. The problem is, will we recognize him? And so the apostles are now gathering together again. And I don't know who wasn't there. Judas wasn't there, we know that. But these men recognize this is the crucified, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, Messiah. Here is God in action again. Well, if you read on through here, you'll come across these things that raise a lot of interest about Jesus will question Simon Peter about his love for him. Even though he just dove in the water and swam to shore, he's going to question Simon Peter. And Simon Peter is going to say, yes, he makes this statement that I love. Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Hang on to that, folks. You know everything. That's true. Aren't you glad, Mr. Eden?
Let's talk. How do you test a thought, in other words, I get a thought that I need to go do this. Well, is that my ego? How do I test that it's God and not my? Well, if I go do this, people will think I'm something else.
Yeah, that'll happen to you a lot of times. I use the error on the right side of it if I can. If I'm wrong, Lord forgive me, but if I don't do it, I may really be wrong. Now, I try to follow my instincts, but rarely ever will the Holy Spirit ask you to do something that goes against his teaching.
Oh,
amen. Yeah. That's not going to happen. And so he says to Simon Peter, Simon, when you were young, you dressed like you wanted to and you went where you wanted to. But there's going to come a time in your age when you're going to be at the disposal of other people. They're going to dress you like they want to and they're going to take you where you don't want to go. Wow, that's encouraging, isn't it? Wow, you would have thought Simon Peter, they're going to build a whole building after him. I mean, they're going to have a basilica in Rome named after him. What do you mean they're going to take me places I don't want to go? And it says in here, John says Jesus was talking about how he was going to die. And then Simon Peter shows he's a lot like you and me. Yeah, well, what about him? What about him? Boy, how many times have I heard that in the church? I've probably told you this before. I've told you about everything I know. I pastored a church down in Miami, Florida, South Miami, Florida. And I had a man by the name of Harrington, who was on the board when I got there. And it came time for them to renew his local preacher's license. And so they were talking about it in a board meeting, and I stopped them. I said, wait. We're not ready to vote on this just yet. I have another meeting with him just yet. And so he said he would excuse himself, and so he got up and walked out of the board meeting until we could have this discussion. As I said to them, folks, this is my first time to meet with you on this kind of an occasion, but I'm going to have to tell you, I cannot approve this man to be a minister of the gospel in the Church of the Nazarene when he doesn't believe what the Nazarene Church teaches. I said, further than that, he doesn't believe what the Bible teaches. I said, for one thing, he does not believe in sanctification. He does not believe that the Holy Spirit can control your life. And he doesn't believe in tithing. I said, I can't sign a license for this man to preach in our church when he doesn't hold up the standards of the church and goes against Bible teaching. Well, I just have to tell you right now, that was not a joyful time. And nobody seemed to think the Lord was in it, except me. And I stood my ground. And we did not give him a local preacher's license. Now, I had prayed about this before I ever got there. And I felt the Spirit of God saying to me, don't license this man. Now, whether that was the Holy Spirit or just me, I don't know. But I know that what we did was probably the right thing to do. I do know that 3 years after I left there, he was put in prison for embezzlement. That had been a good preacher's tone, wouldn't it? Sir? There are times when we have to listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. And he said to Simon Peter, Simon, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough. And Simon, a lot like you and me, yeah, well, what about him? Well, what about him? Jesus said, Simon, totally rendition here, Simon, that's none of your business. Your business is to follow me. That's another part of this chapter that's almost essential for us to understand. Don't get caught up in what others are or are not doing. Get caught up in what God can do through you and through me. And praise the Lord when he does something through other people. He will. He'll do it through some of the most unlikely people you have ever met in your life. You probably know some occasions when it just, you just can't believe it. But God used this person to do something that you just, it had to be a God thing. And he said, don't worry about John. My wife worked with a telephone company for a long time. And one day, one of the ladies asked her what she was doing. And she said, well, what's it to you? And the girl said, well, nothing. I just thought maybe I could help you. Well, the girl sitting across from her thought that was a cute statement. But she came back about a week later. She said to Pat, I hate your guts. I said, what? She said, well, you remember a couple of weeks ago when you used this statement, what's it to you? Said, oh, yeah. I said, well, yesterday I was home and in the kitchen doing something to my husband hollered about something to me, and I asked him, what's it to you? She said, I've never seen him come so unglued in my life. But that's what Jesus wants to say to you and me when we caught up in what other people are or are not doing. That's none of your business. That's my business. And that's hard to take sometimes. Because God does some very unusual things with some very unusual people at very unusual times. But he's in control. And then John says again, well, folks, I've written this so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you will receive life everlasting. That's what this whole chapter is about. The whole chapter is about you will believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is at work even when you don't realize he is at work. And he's using you when sometimes you don't even realize he's using you. Where there are two or three of you gathered together in my name, He's sitting right there. He's sitting right there. His Spirit is with us this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Spirit of truth. Guide each of us, I pray, so that we will recognize you when you're in our midst and when you're wanting to do something with us and for us and through us and to us. Guide us with your great Holy Spirit so that when others are around us, they will not see us, but will see you. Teach us, Father, how to recognize you at work in this world far more than we do. And use each of us with the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you.